You're listening to a special edition series focusing on the power of improved internal communications. Understand the true cost of neglect. Learn simple concepts to more fully engage your team and see firsthand how these interactions can impact both productivity and the bottom line. This series is made possible by PDP Solutions, the leader in effective communication in the workplace. PDP, people-driven performance. And now, here are today's hosts.
All right, welcome back to episode 5 of our groundbreaking special edition series, Effective Communication in the Workplace. I am your host, Todd Schnick. Very fortunate I am on today's show to be joined by a good friend of mine who is here to share some very critical findings from a recent survey he conducted. Say hello to my guest and friend, Mr. Tom Cutler, the CEO of TR Cutler Inc. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, the pleasure's mine. Good, as always, to spend time with you. Before we get into our discussion around this survey and its results, Tom, take a minute and tell us about you, your background, and the mission and purpose of TR Cutler, Inc.
Sure. TR Cutler, Inc. started 16 years ago, and we founded the Manufacturing Media Consortium. We have about 5,000 members, editors, journalists, economists, anybody covering the industrial sector, manufacturing, distribution, warehousing. And we did this specifically because we wanted to make sure that we could have the touch points, the people that were examining, discussing, evaluating the trends and the conditions on the manufacturing plant floor and in industry worldwide. And so it's grown rather quickly, and we're delighted about that. I think we also, I personally author 500 feature articles a year in the manufacturing sector, so have touched in every industry sector throughout manufacturing and industry.
Outstanding. Well, as always, Tom, good to chat with you. All right, let's get into this survey. So give us the 10,000-foot view of this marketing research survey that you conducted. What was its purpose? Who did you speak with? And how did you actually conduct the survey?
The survey was actually conducted this February 2015. And what we wanted to figure out was what were the real manufacturing pain points that manufacturing leaders were having with communication with their shop floor workers, you know, whether it's a union shop or not, whether it was conflicts between the comfort level, the anxieties, the apprehensions that these manufacturing leaders had, particularly among those companies that were growing rapidly. And how do you accommodate a fast growing company? You know, 5 years ago, this may not have been relevant because the economy was really tanking. But now with this rapid growth, through companies acquiring other companies, mixing and matching the culture, the people, managing employees, employee retention, and some of the other challenges, just wanted to get to the heart of it. So we surveyed 1,500 small and mid-sized manufacturing CEOs and really asked them, what were those great barriers, challenges, and fears about growing their company? And we really think that some of the data findings were both statistically significant and really quite interesting and somewhat unexpected.
Well, we're going to get into those findings in a second. But Tom, I got to be honest with you. As you know, I've been engaging in conversation with manufacturing leaders and executors for a long, long time. And I don't know that there's really been that deep of a focus on what's happening with the shop floor. I mean, that's a very intriguing element to this survey.
It is. I think one of the reasons that hasn't been looked at that carefully up to this point is because, you know, you had people who joined the company 10, 15, 20 years ago, but they're aging out of the system. And so suddenly you have all these manufacturers whose longstanding, quality, competent, skilled employees are retiring. And so suddenly they're saying, well, gosh, we know we're going to have to replace them. How do we find new staff? How do we keep new staff happy? And how do we maybe even hold on to those longstanding employees and keep them engaged for another 5 or 10 years so that they don't just retire early? Because we need their expertise. We can't replace them easily. So I think that those factors of an aging workforce, finding new skilled employees, have really caused those manufacturing leaders to say, I need to think differently, behave differently, and understand maybe the differences in millennials versus baby boomers.
Tom, is that why this survey is so relevant? I mean, manufacturing has always had shop floor employees. We've always had people. We've always had teams. But that's what you just said strikes me as to why this is so relevant now. Is that what has changed in the industry? Is this real status of flux in terms of talent?
Well, I think it's part of it. I mean, I think part of it, if you really look at it, You know, the boomers who started in manufacturing, there weren't cell phones when they started. And now you can't ask any person who's under 30 who lives on their cell phone, texts everything, wants all their communication in that manner. You have to learn to adapt your communication style to the workforce. And the workforce isn't the same workforce as 10 or 20 years ago. And so these manufacturing leaders, the mean age of the CEOs who responded to the survey was mid-50s. Mm-hmm. And so they're used to communicating the way they're used to communicating. Right. Well, that's not the same as the 25-year-old who, you know, has had email their entire life. It's just a different culture of communication. And so there's an admission on the part of some of these leaders, I don't know how to do this. And so they're looking for third-party resources and resources to help them learn and do better at keeping the new workforce engaged.
I mean, Tom, I'm looking at the survey itself, and I mean, the greatest pain point causing anxiety, fear, and apprehension about manufacturing growth among all these leaders that you spoke with in terms of communicating with their employees, I mean, 4 out of 5, I think it was like 82%, that said that speaking to their employees was difficult or very difficult. I can't even get my head around. How do you operate that way?
Well, typically, you know, many of those respondents have engineering backgrounds. And that's terrific for manufacturing. It may not be terrific in managing people.
Right.
And so oftentimes those communication functions were relegated to HR managers, shop floor, maybe plant managers who were overseeing the shop floor employees. It becomes even more difficult when you suddenly acquire 2 or 3 smaller companies and you have a total shift in culture in how people work together, who's who in the company. And so I think it's a very challenging issue. And I think they know it's challenging. And most were very honest in saying, I'm not good at this. I'm a great engineer, or I'm a great manufacturer. And I believe in producing excellent product on time, delivering to my customer. But I don't know how to talk to the guy who's working second shift on the line.
Yeah. There's a quote from the survey. Back in my day, you went to work, you did a great day's work, you got paid, and you went home. But these younger workers today, these millennials, as you said, they need constant approval. They need recognition. And it's just so out of the typical CEO's comfort zone. They don't even know how to handle that. How do we begin to get a handle on that?
Well, I think it's first understanding who the new employee is. You know, it's hard enough to find skilled labor that knows how to weld or knows how to do an effective plant production process. And so some of this comes from having the existing workforce onboard new employees in a collegial way, in a mentoring way. What we've also found is that those millennials can co-mentor the other way. In other words, they're bringing some of the older workers into some of the newer technologies. But the bottom line is everyone has to have a real-time sense that leadership and management knows what the mission of the company is. And it's not just to make great products. It's to make a great company. And a great company is the assembly of great people to support the mission of the manufacturing operation. And so a leader really needs to be a bit of a cheerleader and really make sure that all the people understand what we're doing for this company. Why are we here today? What are we trying to accomplish this week, this quarter, this year? And I really think that rather than trying to suddenly become proficient, competent, excellent, they need to turn to experts who understand employee communication and then are able to resource out some of those better skill sets that maybe they're not good at. And certainly the survey revealed that the CEOs who are in their mid-50s and older are not comfortable. And realistically, they're not going to get comfortable. So they just need to align themselves with organizations that can effectively handle those employee communication ship roles that they're not so facile or that comfortable performing.
But thinking about what you're saying, I mean, to the credit of your survey respondents, I mean, 90% of them said that their employees are their most valuable asset. I'm happy to see that acknowledgement, but very few know how to motivate and inspire that engagement that we talked about. And that's critical. And frankly, between you and me, heartbreaking, as you just said, manufacturing leaders, they outsource a lot of different aspects of their business, payroll, benefits, and other services like how to implement lean, for instance. Are you sensing that there's a recognition that outsourcing communications is becoming more viable and realistic and something that they're willing to consider?
Absolutely. Because, you know, one of the aspects of any company that has a lean initiative is to eliminate waste. And in the elimination of waste, in the pursuit of best practices, in continuous process improvement, I think many manufacturers have really done a great job in the production aspect of lean. They've said, where can we make this better, faster, more efficiently? And they've done a great job. What's now happened is those lean programs and concepts have moved into the front office. So whether that's an accounting function, whether that's a front office, whether it's a safety and compliance issue, whether it's communicating with employees, you can't do lean and not arrive at communication. It's impossible. All lean roads lead to communication. Now, communication could be a monitor on the plant floor that shows how is production doing. It could be these are reminding employees, these are our safety programs, and these are the policies and practices. Those simple ways of giving plant floor, on the shop floor feedback to the employees day in and day out, young, old, doesn't matter. If we don't make sure that those employees, those workers, are given those instructions, they will fail, and there could be a high cost, both in safety, employee satisfaction, and employee retention. Part of what's driving this, Todd, is that we really see that the cost of replacing an employee is so much higher than hiring a third-party vendor who can provide these communication services. It's very expensive to interview and find a good candidate for the job and get them and pay them what the scale is they want and then keep them happy and engaged for years as a valued employee. So I think that you can look at the math, the ROI of doing those kinds of hiring practices, saying, wait a minute, we got to make sure if we're going to onboard a new employee, that employee stays with us. And that always comes back to effective employee communication.
Yeah. Well, Tom, I'm going to be perfectly frank. It's almost encouraging to me. I'm sad that it's the state we're in, but it's encouraging to me that it sounds like, based as results of your survey, and confirm this for me, if you will, that a majority of these manufacturing concerns recognize the fact that at this moment in time, they do not have effective communication in the workplace. And I hope as a result of this series, we've clearly communicated the value of and why that's so important. Would you agree?
I would. I'm not so sure everyone's willing to admit that's the problem. I think they know they may not be good at it, but I'm not sure everyone yet has arrived at the day where they say, this is as important as inventory management. This is as important as automation. I think that, you know, one of the things about engineers, they like engineering. And so it's too easy to attribute things to if we only had more machinery or if we only had equipment. At the end of the day, every company is the assembly of its people. And I will say, universally, there's a very strong acknowledgement that the workers are vital to the success of long-term and short-term for every manufacturing enterprise.
All right. Well, Tom, I have nothing else to say after that comment there. Well said. So before I let you go, where can people contact both you and TR Cutler Inc. should they have questions? And where can they get their hands on this survey?
Absolutely. First, for the survey and any other information, TR Cutler at TR Cutler Inc. That's TR Cutler at trcutlerinc.com is the email. And I can be reached at 954-682-6200.
I keep forgetting you're in Fort Lauderdale, you lucky dude. All right. Well, Tom Cutler, the CEO of TR Cutler Inc., as always, my good friend, great to speak with you. Thanks kindly for your very generous time.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back after the break. When we return, Lou Dickmeyer and I will discuss the survey and its implications. We'll be right back.
Are you a manufacturer plagued by high turnover, burdened with low employee engagement, stung by safety concerns, and generally losing the human talent war in a very competitive market? Say hello to PDP Solutions. PDP offers software solutions that changes the game in workplace communications. As PDP President Lou Dickmeyer says, companies seldom fully understand the deep connection between improved communications and moving the key performance indicators. She adds, it's exciting to watch when our customers move the needle. Check out PDP Solutions at pdpsolutions.com. That's pdpsolutions.com and learn how they can help you.
All right. right, back with you, now joined by my friend and colleague, Louise Dickmeyer. Lou, as always, good to be with you.
Good to be with you too, Todd. Thanks.
Well, I had a great chat with Tom Cutler at the top half of the show, which we're going to get into in just a minute. But first, as we normally do with these episodes, Lou, remind the audience about why the series around effective communications is so important.
Sure. Well, Tom's insights are incredible. And we are in this very interesting place where we're experiencing the largest demographic shift ever in our workplace. Majority of the boomers, many boomers are retiring each and every day, somewhere between 10 and 12,000 of them. There's new generations with Gen X, Y, and Z coming in, and it just causes interesting challenges around how to communicate effectively across those generations. Within manufacturing facilities that have multiple locations, multiple shifts, all the other things that do cause friction. So we're really trying to shed some heat and light on things that manufacturing leaders can think about in terms of how they communicate effectively and really helping them to understand how that truly impacts their bottom line.
So, so vital. All right. Well, let's discuss Tom's survey. So I heard you say recently that the survey that Tom Cutler did was really kind of the first groundbreaking study that was talked about the fear of shop floor communication. So reaffirm for me why it was so important that we dedicated an entire episode to the impacts of this study by Tom Cutler.
You know, we're really aware, based on the many, many conversations that we've had with manufacturing leaders, that communications just isn't an area of strength for them. Obviously, that's why they're interested in talking to PDP in the first place. It's not an area of expertise, and they truly don't have the time or the resources to do it well. So that's why they're connecting with us. And to see that survey that Tom's group did really reinforced that, and it was such a dead-on survey addressing the communication with shop floor, or that fear of communicating with the shop floor, and how that is possibly a big barrier to a company's growth and success. That was very enlightening. And the other side of it too, in terms of the manufacturer's interest or inclination to hire on a third party to manage their communications, was really, really insightful. Great for us to hear.
I mean, but Lou, one of the key findings of his survey, and I talked to Tom about this, was that more than 4 out of 5 leaders said that speaking to their employees was difficult. I mean, how could you do business that way?
Well, you know, I know, as he pointed out, a lot of people who are, you know, hired into leadership roles in manufacturing are very, very skilled as engineers. They're skilled in operations. They're skilled in maybe lean initiatives and such. And communications isn't necessarily a place that they have not perfected their communication skills. And then, of course, they get into these situations where you've got multiple generations and multiple shifts. It is a little mind-blowing that you can be running a business and not be communicating effectively, or actually cite that as a fear. But it is reality. And there are ways that you can get around that, you know, using tools such as those that PDP provides. We've seen how effective these tools are to really begin to bridge those gaps. But I would agree, it is mind-blowing, but yet it is a reality. You know, I've heard Tom speak of denial of a leadership weakness is not a management strategy. So it's great that folks are starting to get their heads around the fact that, okay, this is a deficiency in our operations, and it is equally as important as how well we manage our processes. So I guess the good news is they're starting to see the light, and that's great for us and great for manufacturers in general.
Well, yeah, that is great. And there is help to be had, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But a key point, what you said just a few minutes ago, but frankly, you've indicated through the duration of this series, is this generational shift, right? I mean, there was a quote from the survey that Tom talked about where a CEO said, "I just don't know what to say to these younger workers." How do you solve that problem?
Well, they don't know what to say, and they don't realize that they truly have to say a lot or speak to folks, give them recognition, give them an opportunity to sound off, to contribute their ideas frequently. Very different than the baby boomer generation, where we were essentially raised to, you know, either be seen and not heard, or just do your job and collect your paycheck and go home. It's a challenge. And there are a lot of different communication modes of communication that need to be employed to do this well. We have our tool set, but really face-to-face communication is by far and away the most effective. And it's supposedly the easiest, unless as Tom's survey cites, it's a real fear to be able to do that. But yep, employers have got to get their heads around the fact that they've got to find those 7 times 7 ways to communicate with, particularly with those younger generations.
Yeah, 7 times 7 ways. We might need to rename the series that. You know, another key finding of Tom's survey, Lou, and again, something that Tom and I talked about in the first half of the show, was this idea that, CEOs recognize that these employees are their most important asset, but they really don't know how to motivate and inspire and drive employee engagement, which you and I both know, that sets an organization back on its heels. Talk about that a bit.
Well, you know, in keeping with the theme of this series, all other things aside, if you're communicating effectively, if number one, you've made a commitment to share information, so that would include just some general updates on what's going on in the organization, sharing insights around these are our goals, this is the direction that we're wanting to go, and also sharing the metrics, those measurements, or sharing what you're measuring with your employees. That says a lot to engage employees of all generations in that you are being transparent, you are positioning yourself as a very credible leader, an approachable leader, and someone that really is trusted. So communication underpins all of those key elements, that building credibility and trust, that transparency and such, that are huge drivers of engagement, again, regardless of generation. So experts have said this over and over again, communication is absolutely the cornerstone of engaging employees.
I'm curious as to your take on this, and this is again something that Tom and I talked about, but it looks like and appears, and you alluded to this earlier, but manufacturing CEOs and executives, they're readily outsourcing payroll and benefits and other services such as lean implementation. Is it your sense that they're appreciating the fact that providing support for internal communications is yet another vehicle by which they're willing to outsource?
Well, we're certainly getting great feedback and great adoption of our managed services approach, where we're actually, we're talking to manufacturers who are coming to us, acknowledging that they're having struggles with their communication. They don't do it well, they don't have the expertise, and they don't have the time. But they love the fact that we can do this for them. We do have the expertise. We've got a protocol that has been proven to work very, very effectively in manufacturing environments, union shops and non-union shops alike, where we can really engage employees. We can get them to crave and pull information through our system that's delivered through our system. And it really takes it's very minimal investment of their time, but it's got a huge impact and a huge upside for them. So yes, while they have years of experience and tendency to bring these third-party providers in, they're seeing the benefits of doing that with employee communication without having to expend a lot of their internal time in particular.
Lou, let me challenge you on this just a little bit. I'm curious as to what you'll say there. And Tom's numbers from his survey back up what you just said. I mean, he said nearly 70% of these executives are willing to consider these outsourcing communications. But payroll's one thing. Communications is another. It's very personal, and it should be. It's a human communication. How does outsourcing communications enable an organization yet still being very personal and impactful in communicating with their team?
The approach of using a third-party provider or a vendor to manage, payroll and communications in theory is essentially the same thing, but the approach that we take is very, very different. So we're not just looking at a bunch of pay stubs and numbers and clock numbers and such. We're really partnering. We're working in cooperation with our manufacturing clients to help them to develop their communication strategy. What are the things that they need to be talking about? We track that for them on our weekly calls with their communications team. We help to sort of coach them on the things that they need to be talking about. Here are their strategic initiatives that they haven't discussed, thus and such recently, might need to have an update there, or, that new lean initiative that's coming on board. I mean, we really are walking with them and coaching them on their communication approach on that week over week basis. So yes, you're right. It is very personal. It is highly customized to each manufacturer. Of course, they have their own culture. They have their own initiatives and such. And so we really partner with them. We really understand what their challenges are and what their objectives are for their communication strategy. And then we marry that up with our using our tools and our expertise to hit that home run for them each week.
Aha, got it. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today, wrapping episode 5. On behalf of our guest, Tom Cutler, my co-host, Lou Dickmeyer, I am Todd Schnick. Episode 6 of our special edition series, Effective Communication in the Workplace, will return next week. Until then, this is Todd and Lou signing off. We'll see you next week.